Oh, yeah. It's Blair and Barker. I mean, we've got a crap ton to talk about for a Monday. Thank goodness for the Devers trade, because it allows us to focus on something other than a weekend sweep of the hands of the Phillies. What do you want to do? Do you want to wrap the Phillies thing up before and then talk about Devers? Or do you want to go to Devers
first? I think so. How was your weekend first? How was Father's Day? You good?
Father's Day was good.
How was your cigars and your drinky?
Everything was good.
Weather.
Step by the water. Everything was fine. Everything was fine. How was yours?
Same old weekend.
Every day is Father's Day at the Barker household. That's what I've been told.
How about that? I'm a lucky man. It was fun. Mowed a little yard, watched some baseball, hung out with my son. Wife was working. It is what it is. And then I got to watch a little baseball, which is, I think the outcome of what we were saying Friday, just don't get swept. I mean, this is predictable.
Yes.
Sort of a little bit, right? When you go on the road and you face three dudes that you faced, you got to do things right. When you don't, you get beat. It's real simple.
Yeah, there was, your point's well made. There's very little margin for error in that series. If you had told me that the closest game would be the Bowden-Francis start, I would have kind of chuckled at you. But there it was, Gausman losing 8-0, Barrios 11-4, probably his worst start of the year. Worst start maybe since opening day. And Bowden-Francis, did he answer any questions? I don't think so.
Yeah, I do.
Or he did. Okay.
I do. I think
3 2/3, 4 strikeouts. The fourth inning. Walk, hit by pitch, walk, hit by pitch.
No, it was really the two-out at bat with Castellanos. That was the one, right? I think you got to sometimes walk away from things asking yourself why. Why extension wasn't there? Why was it there up until that point? Why sequencing of my pitches? Why did I throw something different in that bat with two outs than I did in his first at bat when I threw him two fastballs away and he flew out? Why? Walking away from those things, right? You can build off some things. The consistency of the velocity of his fastball was there. That'll tell you the extension was better. That'll tell you mentally he was sort of commanding certain zones with the fastball, which made the extension better on the split finger. Split finger was moving more, I think, than it was moving all year. It was just mentally and mechanically it fell off the train tracks quick. Why? Walking away from that thing, why did that happen? I mean, it's just basically that one at bat sort of carried into, what was taking place here. We're watching this on TV where just the split finger's working, the fastball command, the velocity of that thing, the extension was way better, right? Release point was better. Up until that 3 2/3 that Castellanos at bat, just arm side, all of a sudden went somewhere that he just couldn't get it back on the tracks. Pete Walker was trying to help. Heinemann was trying to help. Everybody was trying to help for whatever mentally just couldn't get it back on the tracks. But for me, it was a step a little bit forward. I just think health-wise, velocity-wise, break-wise on the split finger, nobody wants to hear that. I know that, and leave it to me, right? I'm trying to be half full guy. And I just think going forward with Wade John was talking, saying he's making his next start with what they have coming, hopefully they're going to get healthier. I mean, you can, if you close your eyes and you're Bowden, I know it's a tough look because of the way it ended, but up until that 3 2/3, two outs in the fourth inning, I don't want to say he was cruising, but he only gave up a hit. Got a little something to build off of. You're facing the White Sox next time too, which if that don't give you confidence, nothing will.
Were you a little concerned about how emotional he seemed after the game?
No. Again, I think that's some of it too here, right? I mean, everybody's wondering, yelling and screaming, why is he making this start? Why is he making his next start? You got to remember who's basically come out and said out loud, we got this dude's back. And that's the top three guys in the rotation. I mean, when you hear Bassett come out and say, ain't going to learn nothing going to the minor leagues, ain't going to learn nothing going in the pen, you got to keep him in the rotation and let him figure it out. I mean, those couple of guys in Gausman and Bassett have his back, which is, just makes it that much harder when you don't have anything below him that's doing things. And then you got your two better guys vocally coming out and saying out loud that they got this dude's back. It's not the easiest way for John to go, okay, ain't making this start. We're going to fill in the blank with somebody else. So you're trying to give him as long a leash as possible.
Right.
So, and I think this is sort of where they're at.
So let's just kind of reset things a little bit. The Jays are 38-33. They have today off. They'll start a series against the Arizona Diamondbacks tomorrow. They're outscored 22-6 by the Phillies. If you look at the AL East standings right now, The Yankees are in first place, 42-28. Tampa Bay's 39-22. The Jays are 38-33. The Jays are 1.5 up in the wild card, 4.5 back. The Boston Red Sox, we'll talk about them in a minute. They're 8-2 in their last 10. They've won 5 in a row. They just swept the New York Yankees, and the Baltimore Orioles are 30-40. They've won 3 in a row as well. So before we get to the Devers deal, and we'll be joined by FP Santangelo, I want to talk about, we've got to talk about Chad Green and Eric Swanson, both of whom have been inconsistent, to say the least. Eric Swanson giving up a grand slam. Look, we know that they're, right now at least, they're probably not in the quote-unquote A group of relievers for the
Jays.
They're
not in the D group.
Or they're not in the D group, right. But what it's going to be hard. Nick Sandlin will be back soon.
One of the two will go first. I'm assuming whichever one you're paying the least amount of money to, that's the one that'll go first.
Or maybe
that's the reality of life, bud.
Maybe it's just a sunk cost. Like, could you get anything before you get rid of those guys? Before you get rid of those guys, you're going to try to get something, anything.
Oh, I would think so. What are you getting for Swanson? I mean, he don't throw as hard as he used to throw. The split finger ain't splitting. The slider ain't doing much to righties. Like, I just don't know what you get from Chad Green. North and South maybe don't have anything to get a lefty out. What are you getting for him unless you're packaging something for? I don't know what you'd get. I mean, miracles happen. We've seen, you know, guys be traded that normally wouldn't get traded. I just think it's leverage counts, man. When you don't have great stuff and you're always giving the hitter a leverage count, you're going to pay for it. And that's what happened to Chad Green in the eighth inning. I mean, they fought and clawed back. You know, John was doing everything he could possibly do by who he was throwing after Bowden came out of the game. He was doing everything in his power to keep him as close as he could possibly be for the lineup to hopefully somebody that mattered in that lineup maybe to run into one. And when you're just always in leverage counts and you're always pitching from behind, good luck. It's just not going to bode well for you. And again, he just has nothing, zero to get a lefty out. See, throwing a lefty. The elevated fastball don't play anymore with him. And the location of it, a lot of the times, is very, very inconsistent. And when it's those two things, that's exactly what happens. So, yeah, it's performance-driven league, man. And when Sandlin and Garcia gets back, I would think both go. Fisher ain't going anywhere. That dude's filthy, bro. Like, he is giving it to you. And John feels comfortable enough in the seventh inning. He throws to the top of the lineup just so Chad could sort of get not that part of the lineup, right? I mean, you don't want Fluharty throwing back-to-back days against the same part of the lineup. So what are you doing? You don't throw Green to the top of the lineup. You throw him to two righties, 4, 5, and 6, because you don't like lefties. And then he gives up a two-run homer or a 2-0 homer to Kepler. This is a no-brainer. This is an easy one. I mean, the leash is long enough. You're trying to win a baseball game, American. The American League now, with what the Yankees are not doing,
and what the Red Sox
they're basically not
did.
Running away from this thing. And now what the Red Sox have done, I mean, the door is just wide open. So hurry up. Like, you got to make your decisions quick. And I know as soon as some dudes get healthy, I'm sure some changes will be made.
June 16th, we're still waiting for Vladdy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm down on him. I've said this many times, and I'm basically the only dude in Canada that says this a lot because I know how hard hitting is, and I know the pressure on that dude. And, you know, I heard Caleb, and this is sort of the reason why it's just got me a little thinking about this, where he's saying, you know, in game 70 that Vladdy needs to cheat to hit a fastball in. We haven't even started the 14-year deal yet, and he's already cheating to hit heaters in. I mean, it's just amazing to me. And it's like sometimes the selfish at-bats, that 3-0 fastball about 8 inches off the plate when you're down a run and you got the hottest hitter on your team standing on the on-deck circle and you swing at that and pop out. It's little things like that I just don't understand. I just don't understand why the conversation of why has not been had with him more often. It's very confusing to me. Why have you been late for 70 games? Why are you chasing things that you chase? Why have you not been slugging to the poolside? Like, why don't you have plan B? I've been saying this for a long time. Everybody that matters has a plan B. Everybody. Not everybody does this. You want to know why? Because it's almost impossible to get it up. We saw three dudes in a row against maybe the best pitching staff in the on planet Earth basically said, big fella, I don't care how much money you make. Here they are, fastballs. I don't think you can hit them. Did he hit them? Nope. Only one he hit was the double to right center to tie a game, which is good at bat. Why did he hit it? It's right down the middle. Just it's sometimes it's just amazing to me, and it's very frustrating. And that's why I'm a little down on him. I mean, when you got Bo chasing the things that he's chasing, I mean, he left May sort of honing in that small little window of things that he could do damage on. And now you see the series was 1-for-16.
He said 215 this month, I think. Yeah. 215, his OPS is like 552 or something.
When
like
you're
that.
Facing the pitching that you faced on the road, like the Phillies, the four guys in Bo, Vladdy, Kirk, and Springer can't have two RBIs and one of those is down when you're down 10-3. You just can't. Like, the at-bats have to get better. The swing decisions have to get better. You want to slug? I've been saying that. And I was the first one to say this team can slug if they swing at the right pitch. But those, and I hate to say that selfish word, but boy, sure look that way. That you're swinging at a 3-0 fastball that's 8 inches. That 8 inches, that's a long way. When a dude's throwing as hard as they're throwing, I mean, it's just, it's very frustrating. And it's very rare that it's like, why do you continuously do it? Why haven't you fixed it 70 games in? That's why you're giving, they're giving you gobs of money because they think you can fix it quicker than everybody else. And they've never needed it more. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, it sort of showed you what, when you're going in facing teams like this, and I said at the beginning of the season, they are a meaningful games in September team. I left the Phillies series thinking they are a meaningful team games in September team. Did I say that right? However it's supposed to be said, that's what they are. So, yeah, I just don't, it just, it's very confusing. It's very frustrating. Hopefully turns the corner. I just don't really understand not having a plan B. If all the stuff is not adding up, and then you start hearing people, which Caleb was exactly right, but to actually hear some dude, you know, that's covering the baseball team actually say it out loud, I've been saying this, he's been selling out for a while, but to actually hear somebody that's covering the team and doing color say that this dude needs to cheat the hit eaters, oh, boy.
All right, we'll be joined at 5 o'clock by Ben Shulman. Ben called the Philly series. We'll get some of his thoughts on what we saw this weekend.
But there was some good things, too, by the way.
Or perhaps we didn't see. Well, give me a quick rundown because I want to talk about
Devers. Ernie 6-for-12. Braden Fisher was really good. The slider and the curve. The head jerk is just a handful for any right-handed hitter or lefty. Just don't seem to be able to pick the ball up. Location of those two secondary pitches. And Will Robertson, tip hat to you, buddy. Getting your first hit in the show is never an easy thing to do. And I like you. Just that simple little approach and can get a fastball in the air to the poolside. Raise your hand on how many guys you watch on a consistent basis with the Blue Jays that can do that. I mean, I know he hit a sweeper, but that's from a lefty. Mm-hmm. Sure looked to me like he had a decent idea of what he was doing. Nice little simple approach. He's old enough to have more peaks than valleys. Who you taking? Roden? Robertson?
Robertson gives me a little more makes me think that there's a little more power in there.
So there's some positives that you can take away from this. That was kind of fun to watch with sort of a series that there was no really fun things to point at.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on. Rafael Devers, the Red Sox sweep the Yankees. They get on the bus, get to the charter. They're flying out. Rafael Devers gets the old tap in the shoulder. Goes back to Fenway Park. He's been traded to the San Francisco Giants for Jordan Hicks and a couple of prospects, Kyle Harrison, James Tibbs III, who's an outfielder, and much better than James Tibbs II, I might say. Hmm. James Tibbs III and minor league righty Jose Bello. We'll call him Bello for now.
Can't buy a beer yet.
Who, me or him?
Jose.
Oh, Jose. Okay, whatever.
You can't.
Oh, whatever.
Not old enough.
He's not old enough. Look, this is a there will not I'll just say that I don't know. I doubt if there will be a move at the trade deadline bigger than this. certainly in terms of, I mean, I'm just thinking of the names we've heard on the trade block. This is a middle of the order thumper, a former all-star. Yeah, he's got a monstrous contract.
Is it though?
Well, it's still, that's why the Red Sox, one of the reasons they wanted to get rid of him. They wanted somebody to take on the money. Look, it makes perfect sense for San Francisco. San Francisco tried to sign Aaron Judge. That didn't work out. They've tried to sign every free agent hitter in recent off seasons. They finally got Willie Adames with a gross overpay because guys just don't want to go to San Francisco. It's not a preferred destination for a variety of reasons, some of it to do with the ballpark, some of it to do with the city itself. Buster Posey taking over as president of the team saw an opportunity to get a thumper in. I mean, who knows what that contract's going to look like when it's over? Who knows what Vladdy's contract's going to look like 10 years down the road either? I mean, to me, you don't worry about that. To me, you know your ownership. Bottom line is Rafael Devers' contract isn't going to prevent the Giants from doing anything they need to do a few years down the road. I mean, for Boston, it's the end of a drama that started when they signed Alex Bregman and then decided that Christian Campbell had to make the team at second base out of spring training. So the idea that Bregman would play second, which he said he was ready to do, that went out the window. That left Devers without a position other than DH. Then they decided they wanted him to play first base when Casas went down, and Devers just said, screw you, basically. That's essentially what he said. Alex Cora, the manager, compounded it by coming out in spring training and saying, you know, Rafi has to remember that there's a new GM in town. These aren't the same people that signed into that contract, which is maybe the singularly stupidest thing I've heard a manager say in a long time. That got Devers back up. So this was going to be a drama all year. I just think a lot of people were so shocked when they stood back last night, heard about the deal, and just there was one of those things, I think, especially after they swept the Yankees, you kind of got the sense, okay, maybe this will work out somehow. You know, we always say it's amazing in baseball how stuff takes care of itself. Somebody gets hurt and da-da-da. Well, Bregman got hurt and still didn't take care of it then. But I don't know how many people thought Rafael Devers would be traded now. I mean, I guess we thought, Kevin, if the thing continued and the Red Sox
offseason
weren't any good offseason or maybe at the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, here you are. You're smoking hot. You're back in the race. And, you know, you trade away Rafael Devers. And, you know, keep in mind that this is the same organization that traded away Mookie Betts. And I know that there are differences, you know, between Mookie Betts' contractual status and Rafael Devers. And quite frankly, you know, Mookie Betts is a little bit of a different athlete compared to Rafael Devers. So I don't put this in the same category as Mookie Betts. I was stunned when the Mookie Betts deal was made because I was pretty confident was going to turn into the player he's turned into. But yeah, it's boy, I'll tell you, social media just blew up when this deal happened.
Yeah, well, it is funny after John Henry went to Kansas City, how it just sort of seemed like to me anyway. Now, obviously, we're not behind closed doors with anybody that matters that are making decisions or what the conversation sounds like. Boy, it sure sounded to me like, or sort of got that feeling that it didn't go as well as ownership wanted that meeting to go.
Yeah.
So it was basically, at least anyway, on the outside looking in, you're basically ownership going, this is probably not the way it's going to be. Breslow, go out and do whatever you have to do to dump this because, you know, he's selfish. He's not doing things he's supposed to be doing because of the amount of money that we are paying him, right? If we pay this guy this amount of money, he should be playing third, first, DH, outfield if we tell him to do that because of the amount of money we're paying him. So he's not a very good teammate, right? We can't have that in Boston land. How dare you not be the best of teammates? And it just seems like, right, you can be the face of a franchise and not be the team leader. Mm. It just sure seems like from the time he got traded until now, all the little conversation around the team is sort of, eh. I mean, it's like he was so quiet and, you know, they got so many young guys young guy would walk up to Devers and go, hey, you know, how do I lay off a breaking ball? Like, help me through this. I need some help. Just sounds like it just wasn't happening that way. So it just seems like the organization, the roster as a whole is okay with all this.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing. Rafael Devers, you know, from all reports, a pretty sweet guy, but he's not your vocal clubhouse leader. I mean, that's just not his. That's not his personality. That's fine. I mean, Xander Bogaerts was completely different than him. Xander Bogaerts was a guy who'd get in your face. But it's just, you know, I get both sides of this, right? I understand Alex. I understand Alex Cora and ownership. They've got They've got a team full of young prospects. They finally got a team full of young homegrown players. They haven't had a Red Sox team like this in years, and I'm sure they're thinking, man, this is not the example we want to have set for our young guys. This has been a distraction.
Yeah.
I don't think this deal gets done without Alex Cora absolutely saying go for it. Now, the backdrop of that, though, is the Betts deal. It's the criticism of Red Sox ownership over the past 5 years that they're more interested in Liverpool, the soccer team that they own, than they are in the Red Sox. And quite frankly, I don't blame them because the Premier League is a much bigger deal than the Boston Red Sox. But and you've got a, you know, you've got a GM that has kind of, he hasn't shown, I don't think, the right bedside manner you need in a city like Boston. So I get both sides. I get why the fans would react like this. I get why Devers would have reacted like this. I get why ownership would have reacted like this.
It's best for both sides, is your point.
Well, ultimately, it will be. Right now, it's not. Right now, Boston, the Kyle Harrison is allegedly the centerpiece of this deal. They sent him to AAA.
Yeah.
So right now, it's a massive win for the Giants. It's a massive win for the Giants. It's a huge win for Buster Posey. I think we'll need to see how it turns out for the Red Sox. If they fall off a cliff now, I mean, if they end up in last place or they just go for a complete and utter crap, then you've got to ask yourself, did they move too soon?
Yeah, I want to up you. What if he goes to Buster Posey's team and Buster gets him to start playing first and he does it quietly? Like, what would that say about the organization for the Red Sox, Alex Cora, you know, Breslow?
The interesting,
what if he goes there? It could happen.
Well, it could happen.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing, of course, Matt Chapman is hurt right now, but I think maybe the ace in the hole for the Giants is going to turn out to be Willy Adames, who we're led to believe is closer to Devers than a lot of other players. They're considered to be pretty good friends. So I've got to think. Look, if you're Buster Posey, I've got to think you've done your you've talked to some people who know some people who know some people here before you make this deal. Where it gets interesting now is, you know, we're getting a variety of reports. We had reports that the Red Sox really only focused on a couple of teams, that they wanted to get Devers out of the AL, they wanted to get him out of the American League East. We've also heard Sean McAdam, a Red Sox, longtime Red Sox writer, wrote that the Blue Jays are one of the teams that checked in on Rafael Devers. I'm sure just about every team checked in on Rafael Devers. I mean, it would be pretty much gross mismanagement not to at least check in on it. I'm not saying that you call the Red Sox and say, let's make a deal, but you call them and you say, you know, how serious are you about this? Hey, keep us in mind if it happens. But it sure seems when something like this happens and nobody gets an inkling of it. I think Robert Murray was the first guy to report it, and it was Sunday afternoon. Nobody was suggesting Giants and Devers up until the deal. Nobody. That makes me think that it must have been a pretty small group of teams that the Red Sox
Jays and Padres
were dealing with.
And Braves.
Well, look, if I'm the Red Sox, I am not trading Rafael Devers inside my division. I know there are people out there who say you make the best deal and you suck it. No, you don't trade Rafael Devers inside your division. You don't want him coming to Fenway Park and going 3-for-4 with 3 home runs for the Blue Jays. Mm. If I'm the Blue Jays, of course I'm calling.
It's okay if you do it in Oracle Park against the Red Sox in a couple of days. That's the point, right?
Look, yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think this is a situation where if you're the Red Sox, how do you fill in the blanks? If you're trying to make the playoffs, if that's the ultimate goal and you got rid of a cancer, I mean, it sure seems like that's what they thought he was, right? It was more you're worried about pleasing him than actually writing out the lineup the way you want to write it out. If you've gotten rid of that, how do you fill in the blanks? I mean, he's a top 5 hitter in the sport. And if you're the Giants, I mean, do you care where he plays? You walk up to him, you go, hey, dude, do you want to play a little third till Chapman gets back? And then when he's back, you DH the rest of the year. But I'll tell you this, going into next year in the offseason, I want you to play first.
This is
like, it's little conversations like that. It's more important that he's happy doing things. I mean, he's like, he's third in baseball and driving in runs. Yeah. They don't grow on trees.
Now, this is the other factor here. Our producer, Mark Poffo, just reached out to me and made a very good point. I talked about the backdrop here is that folks in Boston think that perhaps John Henry and the Fenway Sports Group are paying more attention to Liverpool. This weekend, Liverpool continued to try to land Florian Wirtz, who's a German, good young German player. It's going to cost them £116 million, which would be a British record transfer for a Premier League player. So if you're a Red Sox fan, you're watching the dude who your team gave big money to
million.
Is being sent out. And meanwhile, overseas, the soccer team. And this is, again, this is always percolating in the background with the Red Sox is, I think it's kind of silly. I'm sure John Henry can walk and chew gum at the same time. But it's, you know, folks in Boston are going to say, hang on, you're getting rid of the face of the franchise. You're bringing in, you know, 4 guys, the best dude you're sending down to AAA. And meanwhile, the soccer team is going out and blowing the doors off a record transfer fee for like a 21, 22-year-old kid. I mean, it's such a great Boston story.
Yeah.
It really is a great Boston story. It's also a great San Francisco story, and F.P. Santangelo is the San Francisco Giants radio analyst. He is, of course, a former major leaguer. He'll join us next. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan at Sportsnet.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's The Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Blair and Barker. It is an off day for the Blue Jays after they were swept by the Philadelphia Phillies. They'll start a 3-game series against the Arizona Diamondbacks on Tuesday at the Rogers Center. We'll be joined later on in the show by John Morosi. Talk a little bit about Rafael Devers and also, of course, Shohei Ohtani, who is going to be the
you
opener.
Say it.
It's going to be the opener for the Dodgers tonight. And I understand Dr. Keith Meister has already reserved a spot for Shohei Ohtani. I believe the appointment is Thursday at 3:15.
September what?
No, it's this Thursday.
Oh, it's
at 3:15.
This Thursday. Yeah. Oh.
Given the Dodgers' track record with pitching, you know that he's going to blow his elbow out tonight. But anyhow, there you are. We'll talk to Morosi about that. Ben Shulman joins us at 5 o'clock. But the big story until Shohei Ohtani blows his elbow out will continue to be Rafael Devers joining the San Francisco Giants. Let's bring in F.P. Santangelo, one of our favorites, radio analyst, former major leaguer. You know what's going to happen, F.P.? You know Shohei's elbow is going to... It happens with the Giants, man. Or with the Dodgers, I should say.
You can't wish that on Shohei. Today.
I'm not wishing it. I'm just predicting it.
That's so bad.
It's
so
awful. Bad. Tell him.
Kevin.
No, tell him.
Bad.
It's terrible.
What did I say about...
You don't have to say it.
What did I say about Sasaki
well,
the second week of spring training?
I mean,
anyhow. No, I don't hope it. I don't wish it on him.
Well, it sounds like it.
You're speaking it into existence, dude.
No, that like, never happens.
Baseball. I'm a giant. I'm a giant, and it's good for baseball.
Yeah. Nah. Well.
Yeah.
I mean.
See.
All right.
Be nice.
I'm not speaking anything into existence. Rafael Devers, FP. First of all, was there any hint at all that Buster Posey was preparing to pull off any type of major deal? And you know, Kevin and I have talked about the Giants' attempts to sign Aaron Judge and the other free agent hitters they've tried to get, and how they've come up short. And this seems to be almost a no-brainer for Buster Posey, in that he seems to have, you know, I look at the free agent list this year. I mean, a Kyle Tucker's fine, but other than that, there aren't any sluggers like Devers that are going to go on the market anytime soon. Just tell us a little bit about the deal from the Giants' point of view.
Well, I mean, there was discussions. We were in Minnesota about a month ago, and I was talking to a few players on the bench during batting practice and maybe one or two of the coaches. And it was right when the whole Devers thing started to happen. I said, boy, wouldn't he look good in a Giants uniform? And we were all laughing like, man, that would be something. And that would really solidify the offense. And you'd have a guy that could hit balls into the cove like Barry Bonds did. And we kind of laughed about it. And then at the end, we all looked at each other. And I don't want to name names who I was talking to, the coaches or the players. And we all said, like, why not? Because, you know, when somebody's disgruntled somewhere, they go somewhere else and he's getting a new start. And the Giants need offense. I mean, their offense has been scoring 3 or 4 runs a game. So to get a premier guy, one of the top 6 or 7 hitters in all of baseball in the middle of your order, totally changes the dynamic. In the National League West, I think you guys might beg to differ in the American League East. I think the National League West is the toughest division of baseball. So the Giants are 2 games out. It's weird. I grew up a Giants fan, and Giants-Dodgers has always been the big series, right?
Mm-hmm.
And last night, it's the first time I didn't care if the Giants beat the Dodgers, because the news of the day was like, you know, you lose the battle, but you win the war kind of a thing. So last night's game was insignificant in some regards because it's June. You have the big news before the game, and now the Giants lineup looks a lot better with Rafael Devers in it. I mean, it's really cool that we were talking about it, joking about it, half serious, half joking. And all of a sudden, a month later, it actually happened. And I've been in baseball a long time. And to me, today is surreal. Yesterday was surreal. When you're thinking about something that would be so great if it happened, and all of a sudden it happens, I don't know that I've ever been this giddy as a Giants fan. It was hard to sleep last night.
FP, where does he play when he gets there?
Doesn't matter. Here's the thing. I've been getting asked that a lot. I think he'll play first base. And people are like, why would he play first base? Because it's a different scenario here. Buster Posey approaches you as a professional on a winning ball club and says, like, look, we need you to play third. We need you to DH. We need you to play a little bit of first. And it's a different way of going about it in a professional way that I don't know how it went down. So I'm not going to comment about Boston, but just as a former player, you guys know, like, he has an ego and he's the face of the franchise. And all of a sudden they bring in another third baseman and they're like, you're going to DH. And then, oh, now you want me to play third because he's hurt. Oh, now you want me to play first. Like, so there's a way you approach superstars. And I don't know, obviously it went south or he wouldn't be a Giant right now, and good for the Giants. But if Buster Posey comes up to you and asks you in a professional way that, hey, we need you to play first, we got a good thing going here, he's going to play first. There's no doubt in my mind that Devers plays first base, third base, and DH.
Yeah, FPI, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. I think part of the issue in Boston, and we've talked about this ad nauseum, just the Alex Cora coming out and saying that Craig Breslow is the new GM, the old GM isn't here anymore, essentially saying to Devers, you know, there's a new sheriff in town, he's got new rules. And then criticizing Devers, rightfully so, for that lack of hustle in that game on June 8th. And then, you know, pinch running for him. I mean, all the stuff that added up. And then, you know, Bregman signing. And if you remember, I'm sure you do, when the Bregman deal went down, one of the things that people were talking about is, this is great because Alex Bregman has said he'd move to second base if he has to. That went out the window. So I'm with you. I think it's completely different. I mean, I trust in Buster Posey. I trust in the Giants to sit down with him and say, look, you're going to help us win. And we're not doing this to penalize you. We're not moving you. We're moving you around because you make us better at this position right now. We're counting on you. And I think it's an easy sell to him. Plus, if I'm not mistaken, Willy Adames is pretty close to him, is he not?
Yeah. Yeah. It is an easy sell because you want to be a part of a winner. You go to a new team, you want to be a good teammate. And sometimes you're just in a place for too long. And how that thing was handled, obviously, in his eyes, wasn't handled well. Jeff, remember the former Expos GM, Kevin Malone, went to Los Angeles and said there's a new sheriff in town?
Yes, I was actually thinking of that as soon as I said it. Yeah.
How'd that go? Yeah.
Well, that is true. Yeah, the sheriff's badge got tarnished awfully fast.
Maybe the worst line ever for an opening GM, and it just went downhill from there.
Yeah, that was actually a very good point.
FP, a couple of questions. How hard do you think it would be for him to say go DH, third, trying to learn how to play first on a really good team contending in the West? Part two of that, Oracle Park. If you're an offensive player, you're left-handed hitter. Does the ball carry more to right, left? Is it hard to make an adjustment playing your home games there just because sometimes the ball don't carry?
Well, first of all, I love your Canadian accent.
I nailed it, don't I?
It's okay. You must recognize it. It's a typical Quebecois accent, FP.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
It's dead on.
You're welcome.
You're talking to a former utility player. So I would say it's kind of hard to learn a new position on the fly in a pennant race. And, you know, you talk to JT Snow, who's one of my better friends, and he's a 6-time Gold Glove winner, and he gets so pissed when you just put anybody at first because he took so much pride
in this guy
playing. He took so much pride in being a Gold Glover at first base. And the ball will find you, right, at the big league level. But I think he's a good enough athlete. And to me, it's about willing to want to do it. And if you do, you get there a little bit early, you take ground balls. It's everything's backwards from third. That's the one position I never played was first base. So I don't know how that's going to go. But I, as a new teammate on a new team in a new city, a new organization, you want to impress your teammates. You want them to see that whatever you heard about me in Boston isn't true. So it might be hard, but I think he'll be able to do it. And as far as the ball carrying, it's just there's only one guy that's mastered the cove, and that's Barry LaMarr Bonds. And it's a short porch and right, but the wind blows in off the bay. It swirls in the ballpark. Some days it carries to left. Some days it carries to right. Some days it doesn't carry anywhere. That's why the Giants have had trouble signing these sluggers, because it's, you know, it's cold in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. It's 60 degrees at game time. JB, I don't know what that is in Canada. It's probably like minus 14 or something. So it's not conducive to hitting. The Giants have won 3 championships with pitching and defense. And you guys, it's just got such a good feel to it this year. Just being in the dugout with Buster there every day and having a baseball feel to it. And Zach Manassi and the GM, who is a scout and a clubhouse guy and just a wonderful human being that knows baseball inside and out. That you go from a really analytic driven organization with line changes and pinch hitting, and guys would hit a home run one at bat and they get pinch hit for the next at bat. And players don't like that. Players like to know where they're hitting in the lineup, where they're playing on defense. You signed me as a closer, but now I'm an opener. You signed me as a starter, but now I'm a reliever. So there's consistency all of a sudden. There's accountability with Bob Melvin as the manager and Buster Posey run the show. It just feels like baseball again. And at the risk of sounding old, it's really nice to see an emphasis on getting guys over, getting guys in, making the plays, having 5 starters, having guys know in the bullpen, in the 7th inning when that phone rings, it's me. And in the 8th inning when that phone rings, it's me. In the 9th inning, if that phone rings, I'm not going to pitch in the 4th today. So it's been a really good feel around the ball club. These guys really care about each other. Willy Adames, even though he hasn't hit yet, has made a huge difference in the clubhouse and in the dugout and off the field. And now, like I said, we have one of the premier hitters in baseball to add to the lineup.
Hey, when everybody's healthy, what's your lineup look like? If you were making it out, what would it be?
I did it on Twitter last night. Just, it was kind of fun.
Yeah.
But Jungkook Lee's been leading off, and that's something I've been hoping for privately all season long. I never go online or on the broadcast and say, this guy should be hitting here, this guy should be hitting there, because those guys get there at noon and I don't get there till 4:30 every day. And that's what they do for a living. But I think you go left, right, left, right, left, right, and make it tough where you have Jungkook Lee, who's one of the best players. You guys will see him when they come to Toronto, one of the best players in baseball that nobody knows about. Adames has been hitting second. Then you go Devers third, Chapman fourth, Elliot Ramos, who's going to be the all-star representative from the Giants. He's having another solid year. And then Wilmer Flores. And all of a sudden, just by adding one piece to that puzzle, the lineup gets so much deeper. And I'll always remember this. Kurt Reeder, former Giant pitcher and former Expo, right, a guy came up with in the minor leagues. We talk a lot about it. And he said, as a pitcher, you always know where the presence is in the lineup. And if there's no presence in the lineup, you're just out there on cruise control. He said he used to know whoever it was, like the big guy, he's four hitters away. He's three hitters away. He's on deck right now. And he would always know as a pitcher where that presence was, and it affected how he pitched to everybody else in the lineup. So now the Giants have like a legit presence. Not that Matt Chapman and Willie Adames and Jung Woo Lee and Elliot Ramos aren't, but you have an elite hitter in that lineup. So if you're pitching against the Giants, you know, based on what Woody told me, it's just you're always going to know where Rafael Devers is, and it's going to affect the pitches and how they get pitched to before him.
Okay, who do you think it will help the most having him in the lineup that's around him?
Well, maybe Willie Adames, who's struggled so far this year. But when I say struggled, you know, he's a new player, big contract, new city, still getting his feet wet. It's not early anymore. It's mid-June. But sometimes it takes a while. And what I liken it to, you guys, is when I was in D.C., and the Nationals signed Jason Worth to that huge deal. And Jason's first year as a National was horrible. I think he hit low 200s. He was making errors in right field. He was bitching and moaning about the spread and the travel and this. And we're like, oh, my God, you signed one of the biggest contracts in history and you're miserable every day. He turned that franchise around. He turned the way of thinking around. He's going down as maybe one of the greatest Nationals in history because – he took a losing culture and made it a winning culture. Now, the Giants are not a losing culture, but sometimes those new guys are doing things behind the scenes that we as media or fans don't notice. And I think you have to look at the 7-year, 20,000-foot view of Willie Adames. And when it's all said and done, he's going to be a great Giant.
Yeah, nice.
FP, really good of you to join us today. Thanks so much. Great seeing you again, my friend.
Have fun,
be well,
buddy. Enjoy that.
All right. Say hi to everybody up there for me. I miss you guys.
Will do.
Take care. See you, man.
FP Santangelo, former major leaguer and currently Giants radio analyst, and one of my favorites to cover when he was with the Expos.
Yeah, it's intriguing to see how he's going to handle that park. I know they're showing graphics of all the balls that he hit, how many balls are going to leave that yard. It's a different animal. I know they moved center field in, which will help. That sort of controls which way the wind's blowing, how much it's blowing. But FP's telling you there, it's very frustrating when you lay into one, it don't go where you want it to go.
You know what?
That's intriguing.
He's going to get paid regardless of whether, however many home runs
he hits. I don't think that's the point. He's been traded to a team because one team didn't think he was good enough to help them to another team
I'm trying him
to go places that they can't go.
But I'm looking
at
it.
It's a big ask.
It
is a big ask.
I'm looking at it, but where would you rather be? A place that doesn't, where clearly they don't think of as much of you as they did before, or a place where you are going to be welcome. I don't know. I think he's the perfect player in the perfect place, and I really think it's. You know, we can't underestimate how important it was for Buster Posey to get something like this across the line. Because really, who's been the Giant slugger since Bonds left? Who's been the guy that scared the living bejesus out of you since Bonds left? Has there been one?
Not really. Buster Posey.
They won World Series with pitching and defense.
Yeah.
You know,
timely hitting.
You know who the big guys were when they won World Series? It was guys like Tim Lincecum, and it was JT Snow was on that team. Marco Scudero was, Madison Bumgarner was on that team. Mm-hmm. So it was mainly pitching and defense that.
I was talking more about the park and when you hit balls and it don't go where you want it to go. It's the thing mentally. That's all. I mean, it's obvious that frustration wise, sometimes he can get between his ears. And it will affect performance.
But
that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying he ain't going to be great there.
You're basing that on 1 year.
Not really.
You're basing that. He did a great year last year. You're basing that on 1 year.
He's never played in his home games in this park before. That's all I'm saying. Not saying he ain't going to be great. I'm not saying he's going to not be a big piece to this team. I'm saying I've taken batting practice in that field. I know what it's like. I hit a ball just as far as he could. And you lay into him and it don't go anywhere. That's what I'm saying. FP's saying the same thing I'm saying. Is that part of it where you go to left center like you would in Boston, that thing's either off the wall, maybe caught there. I know they've moved the fences in. Ball may be carrying a little bit better. I haven't been paying attention to their games as much as I normally. Now I will because of this is pretty cool. But yeah, I'm saying, how's he going to handle that? Boy, I hope he plays first against the Red Sox. Boy, if they're, you
I'll tell you the other thing too, Kevin. You know what?
Oh, please let that happen.
It's a different market than Boston. It's like a one newspaper town. There's not that warped history where everything is a crisis. Again, he's going to a place where he is going to be welcomed with open arms. And I think that matters to him. You know, he's making a ton of money. So I don't want to sit here and cry poor for poor old Rafi Devers for what he went through in Boston. But he's going to notice a difference in that city.
Mm.
He's going to notice a difference in that marketplace.
Yeah.
And I just think and I think FP's right. Who are you going to listen to? Buster Posey or Craig Breslau?
So he's not going to say no if they ask him to play first 3 days from now.
I'd be willing to bet he'd say absolutely he'll play first base because that's different. That's different than what the way the Red Sox were approaching him. It's much different than the way the Red Sox were approaching him. You've also got to remember. You got to remember, when he signed that contract, with the Red Sox, he thought he was going to be with the Red Sox for life. They basically told him, we want you to be with us for life. They got rid of Xander Bogaerts. You're going to be the guy. And all of a sudden, Alex Bregman comes in, and this young guy, Christian Campbell, comes in. Now, all of a sudden, these two things combine, me and I'm not the guy. I think he needed to get out of there. I think he'll get away from that, the whole thing with Cora and Breslau and ownership. And you know, it's pretty clear that in San Francisco, you got an issue, go to Buster Posey. And I think Buster Posey will make will be able to sell him on this. And I also just think from a San Francisco point of view, they needed to do this because they got played by when Aaron Judge was a free agent. Let's just say it. They got played. They got played. Carlos Correa, they signed a contract with Carlos Correa.
You actually thought Aaron was going to San Francisco?
A lot of people did. I mean, they had a big offer on them. They had a big offer. No, but they were used as a stalking horse, though. That's what I'm saying. They were used to get the big contract.
Uh-huh.
You don't think so?
I don't know. It's the Yankees. It's Judge. Just seems like they're married. I don't know. It's like what you were talking about with Bo.
So Aaron Judge,
and Blatty.
Aaron Judge going.
Yeah, I know he got a lot more. I think he got more money offered to him than.
Yeah, and going there and spending.
But where's he at?
And going there and spending 2 days there. You think that was all?
I mean, that's what you do. It's like Ohtani going to.
I think
you know the complex in Florida with the Jays.
Yeah,
it's what you do. It's your right to do it.
Yeah, but
that's all.
You're just arguing my point for me.
Well, not really. You seem to saying that they got played. I don't know if they got played or not.
He
was going because he could go. You know,
he got more money, and the Yankees will tell you they had to give him more money and longer term because of that. Because they knew the Giants were gonna, be competitive.
Oh, man.
No one else is gonna be competitive for him. So it was important for the Giants to get a hitter of this.
Well, if you can't pay them to go there, you might as well force them to go there. That's basically where they're at.
Yeah.
For a shortstop.
And you know, it's interesting if you look at the Giants payroll right now, they're still $20 million away from the luxury tax. This works out. They're going to be active in the deadline as well. So this may not be the last.
Well, the West is must watch now. I mean, it was before, but not really.
Yeah, and if you're the Giants, you got to do something. You have to do something. Look, your team has overperformed this year. You've got the type of pitching that might be able to carry you to the postseason. Why not go in now? Arizona's good, but they're. You know, San Diego's never been able to get over the hump. Yeah, L.A. is, L.A., the Dodgers are a great team, but they're not exactly blowing the doors off of everybody else in that division. So, Yeah, I think it's a great deal for the Giants, and a great deal for Rafael Devers. Be mucho happier in San Francisco than in Boston. You won't have to put up with the nonsense in Boston. Ben Shulm is our Blue Jays play-by-play voice on Sportsnet. He'll join us next. We got Jays tickets to give away and John Morosi as well. All that ahead on Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet.